Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, how to handle conflict with a high S. Here we go. Okay, Mark, we have conflict in the workplace all the time. I'm familiar with DISC, D-I-S-C, and the DISC model, and I have conflict with a high S.
Right.
What do I do about that?
Yeah, each of the DISC styles handles conflict differently, right? You'll be more effective if you understand how that person sees conflict and then how to behave, right? And rather than behaving in a way that makes sense to you, behave in a way that makes sense to the person you're in conflict with. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you less likely to win. It means that the conflict's reduced. You'll end up with a better solution for you and for the other person. And this is like the other cast we've done on conflict. We have two parts. In the first part, we want to resolve their concerns. And with a high S, you've got to avoid that win-lose because they're looking to have a win-win or at least a not-lose-not-lose. High S's are closest to the idea of wanting everyone to be able to save face. And then you've got to be able to address their concern of what's the right thing to do in order to manage perception and the potential impact of any conflict. We have three things we recommend you can say depending upon the situation. One is, can we talk about this? Or, I'm ready to talk about this. Okay. Another, it would mean a lot to me if we could resolve this. And that meaning a lot to me is powerful for a high S. And then the third one is, what's the right thing to do? I would also add that if we can use the word we, as in the first one, can we talk about this? That's a really powerful high S word.
Good. Okay. So high S's folks are the peacemakers on your team. They're the ones who worry about how everyone is doing, how everybody's feeling, and they're more likely than the other styles to take action to make others feel good. And so if you want to be effective with a high S and where you have conflict with them, you need to resolve their concerns.
Yeah, now we often poke fun at high Ds because high Ds don't care what other people think about them. In this particular case, the reason I mention high Ds is because they tend to be most unlike the high Ss. So those of you who are listening who are high Ds and you hear the Ss are the peacemakers, you're like, what would it be like to be a peacemaker?
You'll never know.
What is that? That sounds stupid. These people are dumb. That's what high Ds would say. Right. And when we say high S's worry about how everyone's doing, the D goes, why would you do that? What's the value there? Who cares? Right. I know what I'm doing. And folks, if you're a high D, you're so different from an S. What we have found over and over again is that when most of us get into conflict, we tend to engage in the behaviors that come naturally to us. For a high D with a high S, that's going to get you not in conflict. Now, you might say, well, I can steamroll them. And in many cases, you can, although there are plenty of high S's who are more confident than some of the high D's I know. But you may be able to steamroll them. The problem is they won't respect you. They won't trust you. And they'll work quietly behind the scenes to foil plans, processes, procedures that you try to go forward with in the future.
Yeah, you win the battle, but...
Yeah.
Long-term doesn't work.
Doesn't work. So, look, high S's do get in conflict. They'll work very hard to avoid conflict, whereas us IDs, we don't mind if we're in conflict at all. Conflict's normal, right? High S's, though, are just as likely to feel aggrieved by somebody else's action as anybody else. If someone takes action against an S, it'll easily hurt on a high S's feeling. And nobody likes feeling taken advantage of, even high S's. Wendy had a colleague who was a high S, and her high D, high C boss upset this high S, and this high S proceeded to fight her boss on everything for months. And she hated the fighting, but she felt that she was being treated unfairly, and that caused this colleague of Wendy's to dig her heels in. So they can stay in conflict. They don't want to. They're less comfortable in conflict than, say, a high D is. But that doesn't mean they're going to run from it and you can just simply go into conflict with a high S and get away with it. So the first thing we've got to do is avoid thinking that a win-lose is going to be good. High S's are totally concerned with stability, pleasantness, harmony, reasonableness in the workplace. Low-key, ordered, effective, but not dramatic. Okay? If somebody loses, the drama associated with losing, the hurt, the pain, the embarrassment, the shame, whatever you want to call it, that disturbs the stability of the office, the team that the high S wants. They may not want to lose, but they don't want you to lose either. And so if you're a high D, or even if you're a high I or a high C, and you feel you can win and make the S lose, when they lose, they feel like the workplace is not in harmony. And if they feel like they're going to win, that's going to also make them uncomfortable if it's obvious that other people are going to lose. So the high S's look for cooperative solutions. They're willing to take a little bit less in order to make sure that somebody else doesn't get to nothing. If you're a high D and you have that need to just make a decision, and you want the decision to be one where you win, and you go a little bit roughshod over the high S, and they're still thinking high level about the entire situation, mulling it over, figuring out what the best thing to do is, how can we come up with a game theory solution, if you will, where there may not be a big winner, but there's no big loser either. If you think you can steamroll them, maybe you can. The problem is they're going to remember it, and they're not going to trust you. And guys, you can only go through your career so long burning bridges of trust with other people. And look, there is a possibility. There's a solution everybody can win with. So when you're working with a high S, recognize they're looking to avoid win-lose. And if you're a high D or you're high I and you want to win, if you want to be more effective with a high S, you've got to take the extra step of saying, okay, I'm winning. Who's losing? Or is there a loss? And some of you, particularly if you're a high D, look, I admit it. Sometimes this is me. If I want to win an argument, I'm not thinking about who's going to lose. I just think it's important that I win. Now, if I'm working with a high S, that's dumb. It's penny wise and pound foolish. And I've done it. I admit it. Now, we've said before, Mike and I are no better than any of the rest of you on any given day. And so you've got to be careful. You've got to recognize, okay, I win, but holistically, who's the loser here? And if you're thinking win, if you're thinking in those terms, almost by definition, if you're defining something as a win, then there's got to be somebody who loses. Because by definition, you're saying you're going to win means you believe there's a possibility you're going to lose. And therefore, you winning means, at least in the zero-sum game mentality that win-lose presupposes, you're assuming somebody else is going to lose. So be careful.
It's not in the show notes, but I thought I'd mention another thing worth consideration. A lot of conflict doesn't occur in a vacuum, right? It's just not you and the high S. It might be you and five other people in the room while this conflict is going on. And it's just worth noting that if you're a high D and you're in conflict with another high D, for example, and there is a high S in the room, they're absolutely reacting to that as well. So high S's aren't going to react favorably to high D's who are completely comfortable with conflict. The high S is not going to react well to that as well.
Yeah, good point.
Something to consider. Okay, so what's the right thing to do to manage perception impact with high S's when you're in conflict with them?
Since you brought up something on show notes, I'll just add one bit to it. Where I thought you were going to go is we all define conflict our own way. Those of you who are high D's or even high I's, you believe that you're in conflict when other people are directly attacking you or disagreeing with you verbally or attempting to work against your agenda. High S doesn't necessarily do that to be in conflict with you. So be careful that you think you're not in conflict simply because nobody's fighting with you. You may have, in fact, by steamrolling somebody who didn't want to fight with you publicly, you may be thinking you're not in conflict when in fact you are. They don't trust you. They don't like you. And they have a low grade conflict happening with you. And they won't necessarily outwardly work against you, but they won't support you. And in today's collaborative workplaces, it's the kind of silent conflict that could be a problem. And the high D would say later, well, gee, I wish you'd just come to me because if you'd come to me, we could have worked it out. Yeah, you like public conflict. You like using your big words and your loud words and so on to steamroll people. The high S doesn't.
Yeah.
Good they point. Have an interest in winning just like high D's do. Okay, so you ask, what's the right way to manage perception and impact? Look, high S's aren't just concerned with you and them if you're in conflict with them. They're concerned with the perceptions of others and the impact of the conflict on the team as a whole. And look, guys, they could actually be right. I know you IDs are like, well, I mean, I suppose technically they could be, but not likely.
Unlikely, right?
Yeah, right. If you're a manager and your team sees you in noisy conflict with your peers, what message does that send to your team? Or differently, if your team sees you finding ways to work together with your peers to find win-wins, what message does that send? Clearly, it's better not to encourage conflict in the workplace. Now, look, you can say to people, we disagree about this. And we're not suggesting that you set up an example where there is no disagreement or there is no conflict. Conflict happens all the time. What makes conflict difficult is people's response to conflict. Conflict being different points of view. My two favorite forms of conflict are differing points of view upon which a decision rests, or limited resources relative to multiple uses. Those are my two favorites. When people say, well, we've got a conflict here, I ask, is it A or is it B? If it's C or D, I mean, those are possible, but those are the two big ones. People disagree about things all the time, but if there's no decision to be made about it, or if no resources are going to be applied, people don't feel they're in conflict usually. I take that back. High C's sometimes do, but there may not be any outward signs of conflict. Okay. So when there is a disagreement, recognize managers, whether it's with a high S or anybody else for that matter, you turn it into conflict. We all turn it into conflict with our behaviors about the limited resources or about the decision relative to which there are differing points of view. So think that you have a choice. Remember the definition of the root of the word responsibility. You're able to choose your response. Don't turn a disagreement or limited resources into conflict by your behavior. Conflict only happens based on human behavior. Just because there's limited resources doesn't necessarily mean there's conflict. It is a major predictor of it, but it's only human behavior that causes the conflict. And for you high Ds, it's easy to pretend, or no, I'm sorry, that's wrong, guys. I apologize. It's easy to miss that you're in conflict with an S who is worried about the win-lose nature or about some people getting their toes stepped on. And it doesn't take but 30 seconds to think through the problem differently. In other words, to get rid of your paradigm of win-lose. And actually, that's not the paradigm, Mike, as I think about it. The high D doesn't have a win-lose paradigm unless he or she is angry. The high D just has a paradigm of win. They don't even consider the lose. It's the S who would say there's a win-lose paradigm going on in there. That's because right. If someone wins and someone else does lose.
Yeah, the D thinks he or she is right. And if he wins, then everybody wins. Of course, that's the right thing to do.
I would say, regardless of whether anybody else wins or not, he wins and the rest of the world ceases to exist. The loss may in fact occur. Intellectually, he or she understands it happens, but it's not important. We're not going to worry about it. Yeah. So high S's value stability. They want to control the perception that people have about the team, about the work, about competency and professionalism, and so on. A solution which works but causes other people to have to engage in different behaviors is not as good to a high S as a solution which works perhaps 5% less well, but there's less disruption. Sometimes I find myself saying they want status quo. That's not to suggest that they're not willing to change, but they know that change causes angst and disagreement and disharmony and discomfort, and they want to understand that the value is worth that disharmony.
All well and good. So now tell me, what do I do? What do I say? How can I behave in conflict with a high S to get a better result?
Yeah, we haven't said yet to apologize. And I was going to save it to the end, but I'm going to say it now. I have to say, when I get in conflict with high S's, one of the first thing I do is say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this is uncomfortable. Let's talk about it. I'm sure we could work it out. So on. And my two favorite words when I'm in conflict with high S are sorry and we. And that's why our first guidance is, can we talk about this? Or I'm ready to talk about this. That says I'm willing to compromise. Being willing to talk is perceived by an S as a precursor to compromise. Now, it may not actually be true that you're willing to compromise, but think of it from the standpoint of a high S. If someone is not willing to talk, isn't it by definition true that they're not willing to compromise? Of course, because compromising requires talking. So if you're not willing to talk, then by definition, you're not willing to compromise. The contrapositive of that is, if you're willing to talk, you must be willing to compromise. The fact that logically, I think it's actually teleologically, but I could have that word wrong. I may be creating a tautology here because my logic is rusty. I remember taking logic, but it's been a long time. The fact that it's not, it doesn't necessarily follow that if you're willing to talk, you are by definition willing to compromise, doesn't really hit the S's mind. They're just thrilled that we're not in the other situation, which is you're not willing to talk, which by definition means you're not willing to compromise.
Yeah. And the high S hears it. If you're high D, you're willing to talk. The problem is sometimes you're not willing to listen. And to the high S, saying that you're ready to talk about it suggests that you're actually going to listen, which is important to a high S.
Yeah. Look, a high C in this situation would say the situation's clear cut. There's no point in discussing it. And the high I would probably say something like, I'm always ready to talk, but I'm going to still do what I'm going to do, right? That you're willing to talk suggests the situation is not simple and you're willing to take the time to see the situation from different angles, or at least that's the perception the high S will have. That will open them up to the willingness to listen. And by the way, it's also a very calm and even calming phrase. Unlike the phrase, what are we going to do? Which is to a high D, if you're in conflict with high D, hey, look, we disagree. What are we going to do? High D's like, great question. You're absolutely right. Say that to a high S. That's like we're skipping the part where we're reaching agreement, where we behave at a higher professional plane than what are we going to do? Here, give me my club, right? Let's talk about this. Let's reach agreement. Let's behave professionally. Let's compromise. Let's be diplomatic, which is to say behave like diplomats do, which is to compromise.
Okay. What else? What's something else we can use?
It would mean a lot to me. This is a very emotionally rich statement. It would mean a lot to me if we could resolve this. We like a book that you can buy on Amazon, by the way, called People Smart. We highly recommend it. Really good. I want to say Tony D'Alessandra wrote it, and he's got a couple of good books that rely on DISC, but really focus on behavior, and they really do it in a really detailed way. It's good. The book People Smart says that if high S's had a song, it would be, I've Got a Friend. I would actually say it'd be Randy Newman's You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story. What would high D's song be? Oh, We Will Rock You. We Are the Champions, right? Yeah. What would High Eyes songs
be? I don't know. We Will Rock You kind of sounds like High Eye to me.
I guess High Eyes would be Margaritaville.
Margaritaville. Yeah, okay.
What would High C's be? Oh, I know. It would be Mozart. It would be perfection is what it would be. It would be Mozart. It would be Beethoven's Fifth. I would say it would be Canon and D. Pachelbel's Canon and D. But High C would really be bothered that it was a canon in D.
In D.
Not C. Isn't Beethoven's Fifth? Isn't that a C that starts the first movement?
Dude, I don't know.
I think it is.
I'm the guy that wanted to be a musician. I have no idea.
So look, high S's value their relationships, probably even more than high I's. High I's value what the relationships mean. High S's value the people in the relationship. Okay. They want you to be satisfied with the discussion. So you saying to them, it would mean a lot to me, or I'm willing to discuss this. It would mean a lot if we could resolve this. That is an invitation they will find hard to resist. So I really like that one. The last one is, what's the right thing to do? And high S's are like high C's in this regard. They believe there is a certain rightness. Everybody has their own view of rightness, of correctness, if you will. High S's are more concerned with the moral right, the people supportive, the holistic and ethical right, as opposed to the factual or logical or process right. So when you ask a high S, what's the right thing to do? What they're saying is, how can we have justice here? That's the way to say it. That's what they hear when you say, what's the right thing to do? If you ask a high D, what's the right thing to do? The high D is going to say, I'll tell you what the right thing to do is. Exactly what I tell you to do. And if you ask a high I, what's the right thing to do? They'll say, who cares what's right? Let's do something fast and effective. If you ask a high C, what's the right thing to do? They will open their 700-page binder. And you better have some coffee on, my friend. Yeah. So, again, can we talk about this? Or I'm ready to talk about this. If we need to talk about this, I'm happy to do it. I like happy. Happy is a good word for high S's. It's an emotional word. It would mean a lot to me if we could resolve this. That's a big one. And what's the right thing to do? Moral, ethical rightness. Again, justice. That's what we're seeking there, justice. The right thing to do bit, the high D is really more concerned with taking action, the high I too. But reserve styles, S's and C's, don't take action until they believe they're doing the right or the best course of action. Not the only course of action, but the best one. And for a high S, that's considering a lot of factors around people and around justice and around harmony and so on. If you're in conflict with a high S and you're an assertive person, you're a D or an I, you've got to be willing to put yourself in neutral for a few minutes. Even if you say, I may not be willing to give up my point of view, but I'm willing to pause for 5 minutes and listen and not interrupt. Even if the first few times you do that, you don't change your opinion or you're not very good at compromising, the more often you do that, the more likely you are to hear something relevant, something interesting, something different than you'd thought about before. Even just slowing down is good, because for high D's and high I's, sometimes we're so busy talking and interrupting, we don't actually hear what the other person's saying. And of course, communication is what the listener does anyway. And that's it. I mean, look, with high S, we've got to resolve their concerns. You got to avoid that win-lose. It's a huge one. And that means compromising, or at least being willing to compromise, or even before that, being willing to sit down and talk, which is, again, the precursor to compromise. And you can say, can we talk about this? I'm ready to talk about this. It would mean a lot to me if we could resolve this. And what's the right thing to do? In conflict, folks, happens for all kinds of reasons, but often it's because we're blind to the other person's point of view. And then stupidly, we get blind to their point of view. And then we blindly defend our own. When we're looking at other people, and blindness and defense of our own point of view is not a way to be effective. And the more collaborative, the less dictatorial workplace that exists today than, say, 50 years ago. And so the real secret to resolving conflict is to recognizing what our natural tendencies are and to be able to be aware of what other people's tendencies are, and then use words and behaviors that help diffuse or at least address the conflict in a way that makes sense to them, and then be willing to act in that way. If you want to just be yourself, okay, fine, but you're going to lose a lot. You may not lose the argument, but you'll lose the relationship, and you can't get by long-term in organizations. How many times we have to say that? Without both results and relationships. What we've got to be willing to do is not be right, but be effective, which means sometimes finding a middle path so that you can get good results, maybe not as great a result as what you've gotten if you got to do it your own way, you IDs, but something that allows you to get a lot of what you want and maintains the relationships so that you can fight battles again. Or because later on, these people are going to have to carry your water. And if you get what you want early on, but you alienate everybody because of your win-lose attitude and you're surrounded by a lot of high S's, when the stuff hits the fan, everybody's going to watch you drown. I know I just mixed a metaphor, but I think everybody understands.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, partner.
All right. We'll see you. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.